How much is too much? Reflecting on this question is Nisha Subramaniam, one of the four co-founders of Kanavu, an education nonprofit working in rural Tamil Nadu. On today's episode, Nisha talks about an online initiative they launched to meet the needs of the community during COVID-19. She shares how their failure to think through the feasibility of the project stretched the team too thin and almost jeopardized the future of their organization. Hi, I'm Shreya, and you're listening to Failure Files, a podcast by India Development Review, or IDR. The show features highly relatable narratives of failure by people working on complex issues of social change. Their stories are a reminder that the path to resilience cannot be built on success alone. Failure is a necessary condition for it. And now, let's hear from Nisha Subramaniam.
This can't go on like this. But what is the way ahead? In the absence of schools, is this our bread and butter? We have a commitment to our teachers, to our children, right? But at what cost? Voices rose. Tense moments passed. Fatigue was evident in everyone's voice. It was 5 months into the national lockdown and COVID-19 pandemic, and 2 months into the online learning program that our organization, Kanavu, had launched. Though my co-founders and I sat together in the room, we had never felt further apart as we felt today. We sat here questioning our choice to start online learning in rural communities. Actually, we were questioning everything: how we were doing it, how much time was being invested, and how that connected to the purpose of our organization. 3 years ago, in 2018, a small team of 4 of us with the dream of a transformed rural India, came together to set up Kanavu. For us, a transformed rural India is one where there are opportunities for children and women to thrive. Kanavu works with 55 teachers, 5 school principals, and more than 20 women from local communities who together serve about 1,300 children. As a team, we focus on training teachers on content, pedagogy, and leadership skills. We also run a leadership program for principals to build a strong school culture. In March 2020, as we stepped into what seemed like a stable quarter of our second year in existence, the pandemic happened. Shortly after the lockdown was announced, we found ourselves shifting gears. At first, we began responding to community needs by fundraising for cash transfers and distributing dry rations to the families we worked with. With schools remaining shut, we felt a growing conviction that children must continue learning. Kadir, meaning grave, was born from that conviction. A project that supported our teachers and students with continued learning opportunities despite the pandemic. This, in the current context, meant remote and asynchronous learning. Simply put, we sent children videos to learn from, which they could access at their convenience based on when they could access a mobile phone. The expectation was that they would learn by watching the video, complete the tasks given, and share it back with their teacher via WhatsApp. In June 2020, we decided to focus on bridging the technology gap among our teachers, many of whom were not comfortable using technology-based solutions to teach. We would then move on to create content that could reach students through WhatsApp. And so, we began raising funds for recharging mobile data plans and securing used digital devices for our teachers. We were also generating learning videos for every grade on a daily basis. With all 4 founders being Teach for India alumni, the teachers within us rose to the occasion. We made grand plans for age-specific content. Students and parents were now using local materials to learn. Children's science experiments would employ materials found at home, and stones and shells were being used as math aids. Parents learned child development theory through short videos that help them facilitate learning for children in kindergarten classes. Learning videos and completed worksheet photos started pouring in. Our phones were buzzing with teachers seeking help to figure out what's up. Most of them have never used a smartphone before. And we were also simultaneously working with school principals to increase student access to online learning, a massive challenge in the rural communities that we were working with. Everything we were doing seemed like a perfect mix for feeling both a sense of satisfaction and achievement, except it did not feel that way. Exhaustion and a feeling of inadequacy quickly crept in. Sending tasks to students every morning meant that we began working as early as 5 a.m. on most days. This was necessary because it allowed us to record videos, create worksheets, send out tasks, and spend most parts of the morning problem solving so that we could reach more students. Our stakeholders, who included teachers and principals, were fighting their own battles as well, working from home being among the toughest. There was constant firefighting to help teachers build routines so they could sail through a day of online learning while continuing to meet the demands of running a rural household through the pandemic. Given the increase in challenges in online learning and the uncertainties of the pandemic, we became the shock absorbers for teachers' rising stress levels. Efforts to build the organization, raise funds, connect to different networks were only made based on needs. There was a growing inability to do what was important. We did only what was urgent. We kept telling ourselves that these were teething problems and we would settle into a routine, except that we didn't. In about 2 months, we became sure that we were failing. Keeping a project like Qadir alive while meeting the demands of running an organization and trying to do it all was a perfect recipe for failure. Taking a step back, we explored what went wrong. We saw different themes emerged. We had signed up to do way more than the four of us could handle. We weren't focusing enough on Carnival as an organization. We were exhausted and we hadn't focused on fundraising. The bulk of our time invested in creating tasks left us with little time to engage directly with our teachers and principals. This left them struggling to cope with the daily demands of dwindling student numbers or sometimes poorly understanding the tasks sent to students. This also led to a drop in motivation and a culture of negativity among our teachers. Doing calls with school teams helped us to see how much our teachers wanted us to engage with them and handhold them through a learning process. As a team, we were waiting on a funding renewal, without which we would have run out of all funding for Carnival by the end of 2020. This put immense pressure on us, making us question how we were spending our time. Some of us were hopeful about the funding renewal, while the others believed that we needed a backup plan. As a result of the singular focus on Qadir as a program, we wondered if our very existence was in question. We agreed that we were failing and that it was costing us our own well-being as well as that of our team and our organization. Not to mention, our sustainability was at risk. Yet, we had differing opinions on how to solve this problem. Would we stop running the program in this manner? Would we build skills in our teachers to create content? Would we hire more consultants? What would be the implications on our budget? In hindsight, we realized that we went down this path recognizing a need and also recognizing our own ability to fulfill that need. And so we asked ourselves if we could do this well, rather than asking whether we were the only people who could do it well. Yes, we had roped in volunteers who created about 20% of the videos for us, but that wasn't enough to give us the time and bandwidth to focus on Kanan. Personally, this failure wreaked havoc across my life and work. I found myself struggling to meet the demands of being a mother to my 3-year-old daughter and a dog, an entrepreneur aiming to run a sustainable organization, and a leader aspiring to learn and grow. I found myself feeling a great and a growing sense of inadequacy. I was in an overdrive, trying to speed up the time it would take for me to complete different tasks in an attempt to conquer my to-do list. I was unavailable to people in any way, at work or in life. I wasn't listening deeply enough to my school principal who was sharing her concerns about online teaching, or to the teacher who was facing a similar struggle as mine in trying to balance her role as a mother and an online teacher. I was looking for a quick solution that just got us past that day. I didn't listen deeply enough to my co-founders who were sharing opinions that differed from mine or solutions that I hadn't imagined. Not listening deeply enough created a disconnect and a growing sense that we weren't designing creative and empathetic solutions. For the first time in a decade of working with people, I wondered if I wasn't cut out for a role that involved working with people. I found myself not having any energy to think creatively about the problems at hand. I allowed myself to believe that creating content myself saved me the time that I would otherwise have to invest in checking the quality of volunteer-created content. So my to-do list grew and grew, and I wasn't making time to tap into an existing support system or build a new one. All of this affected both me and my team deeply. It showed up as exhaustion, disconnect, avoiding difficult conversations, slower decision-making, and less joy at our workspace. While we continued to be present in learning spaces and applied for a renewal grant, we knew that both partnerships and funding had taken a hit. For a two-year-old organization, this could hurt us in the long run. Our teachers, school principals, and partners experienced us as being busy and hence did not want to trouble us further. We heard this very often, and this meant that we weren't in touch with what was happening with them. This realization finally brought us to a point of acceptance. We could not go on like this. This difficult period shattered our belief that passion meeting purpose alone could carry us through any challenge. It has since introduced the big F word into our decision making, which is feasibility. As part of our working process, we have started asking ourselves, is this feasible? How do we make this feasible? Just asking this seemingly simple question is helping us declutter. We are able to look at what's a good to do and a must do. It has helped us think critically about how we spend our resources and time. This failure also underlined the fact that reflective individuals coming together alone doesn't necessarily result in a reflective team. While each one of us grows aware by reflecting, we also need spaces to come together as a team to reflect and articulate those reflections. Doing this will help us get on the same page, make tweaks accordingly, and move on. Another big lesson has been that focusing on the founding team's well-being and joy ensures the organization's sustainability, especially in our early years. Creating spaces for celebration, acknowledging efforts, and sharing impact gives people the energy to move forward. These three insights have helped us to imagine what's next. We have brought on a consultant on board who can support content creation for student tasks. We are instating a rigorous process to find and invest in the right people to volunteer with us. And we are focusing on orienting them, sharing quick feedback on their work, and building quality in the content generation process. We are still struggling with reducing the scope of our work in order to balance the feasibility question with our ambition to fulfill our vision. Then there are moments when we see one of our volunteers grow more confident, or when we're able to invest time in what we think will help Carnival move forward to a stronger place in the next 5 years. We know that in the journey of a young organization, there is no happily ever after. And we are so grateful for the wisdom that comes from failing spectacularly.
Failure Files is produced by Rachita Vora, Tanaya Jagtiani, and me, Shreya Adhikari. This podcast is part of a larger initiative at IDR, where, alongside 15 partners, we are creating a space for candid conversations around failure in social impact. To read more about this growing movement, check us out at idronline.org. You can also share your own failure story with us at writetous@idronline.org. Thank you for listening and see you next week.